Let's read the Holy Scriptures together. The Word of God in Psalm 143. Psalm 143. Pay attention to all of the references to prayer and to praying in the psalm. Beginning with the first verse. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Make that S a capital S on spirit. Thy spirit, the Holy Spirit, is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble, and of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. So far we read God's holy word this morning. On the basis of the psalm that we've read, and the whole of Scriptures, the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 49, with regard to the third petition. Which is the third petition? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good, so that everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. Now let's pray. Father in heaven, lead us into a good understanding of the third petition, of the perfect prayer that our Lord has taught us to pray. The petition, thy will be done. And grant, Heavenly Father, that thy word may be applied to our hearts and lives by thy Holy Spirit. Keep us from sin, for Christ's sake. Amen. God, our Heavenly Father, hears the prayers of His people. Abraham's servant Eliezer prayed, and God brought Rebekah to him to be Isaac's wife. Moses prayed, and the army of Amalek was defeated. Joshua prayed, and Achan was discovered, and the children of Israel were victorious over the city of Ai. Hannah prayed, and God gave her a son, Samuel. David prayed, and Absalom's army was defeated, and he was restored to the throne of Israel. Asa prayed, and God gave to the army of Israel a mighty victory over Zerah, the Ethiopian, and all his hosts. Jehoshaphat prayed, and in one night, God sent his angel, who slew 185,000 of the Assyrian army. Hezekiah prayed, and God heard his request, and added 15 years to his life, and gave him a son, an heir, Manasseh. Daniel prayed, and God shut the mouths of the lions so that they did him no harm. Elijah prayed, and God sent 3 years of famine into Israel. He prayed again, and God sent the rains. Elisha prayed, and God raised from the dead the son of the Shunammite woman. Believers prayed, and Peter was rescued from prison and from certain death, and was restored to the church at Jerusalem. God hears, and God answers the prayers of His people. But God answers our prayers according to His will. And that is the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. This is what the Lord Jesus has taught us to pray. And not only to pray, but to believe and to live by, Thy will be done. That means that God does not always answer our prayers as we desire them to be answered. Prayers even that we make to God that are not in themselves wrong. Moses prayed fervently, but it was not God's will to permit him to enter into the promised land, and instead he died on the mount. David prayed, but God did not restore his newly born son, and his and Bathsheba's baby died. Zacharias and Elizabeth prayed for many years that God would give them children. But it was not God's will to give them children until they were past the time of childbearing and undoubtedly had quit praying for children because it seemed that God had given him their answers. But still, in their old age, miraculously, God gave them a son, John the Baptist. Paul prayed on three separate occasions that God would remove the thorn in his flesh. But it was not God's will to remove the thorn. And God gave Paul the grace to endure that thorn, whatever it may have been. The early Christians prayed when they were persecuted severely. Many were brought to the Roman Colosseum for use in the blood sports that entertained the Roman populace. As they prayed for deliverance, they were torn limb from limb by the lions. And our Lord Jesus Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But it was not God's will to remove the cup. And Jesus drank the cup to its bitter dregs. The third petition is the last of the Thy petitions. The three petitions that especially concern God. God's name, God's kingdom, and now God's will. The third petition follows from the first two petitions. In the previous petition, we prayed for the coming of God's kingdom. First of all, in us. We who are the citizens of God's kingdom live according to the will of the King. And in that way too, the King's name is hallowed and glorified. At the same time, the third petition introduces the last three petitions, the petitions that concern ourselves and our great needs. Because you see, the third petition brings the Lord's Prayer down to earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This petition on behalf of God's will is a petition that the Christian prays continually. Whether or not you use these words in your prayer, which often we do, according to thy will, if it be thy will, or whether we don't use the words, but this nonetheless is the attitude of our hearts, that we pray according to the will of God. This morning I call your attention to our prayer for the doing of our Father's revealed will. His revealed will. Let's notice three things together. First of all, Father's revealed will. In the second place, our prayer on behalf of Father's will. And finally, Father's answer to our prayer. God is a personal being. Three persons in one divine being. As a personal being, God has a will, and He wills. He purposes. He desires. He determines. He decides. Those are all activities of the will. God's will is that in God which makes decisions, and that in God which imposes requirements upon us, His rational, moral creatures. We can understand something of God's will because as creatures who have been made in God's image and who therefore resemble God, we also have wills. God has made us that way. We make choices. We decide things. We purpose and we plan. Undoubtedly, you have exercised your will frequently already this morning. You got up in time to go to church. You decided before you got up this morning, I trust, that you were going to church this morning. You decided what you were going to eat for breakfast. You decided what clothes to wear. You decided what road to take to get to church. You decided what pew you were going to sit in, although most of you sit in the same pews. I can look for you and spot you in your familiar place. We will, and we will because God has made us in His image. Even though we are made in God's image, and as God we will, there really is no comparison between our will and the will of God. God's will, you see, is perfect. He never wills to sin. We do. Often. God's will is all embracing. It includes everything in heaven and on earth. Our will concerns our very narrow slice of the life that we live. God's will is good. And only wills good for His creatures, for others. We do not always will the good for others. And God's will is efficacious. God's will always comes to pass. What He wills, what He pleases, He does. The psalmist says, an important distinction must be made in the will of God, a distinction that's necessary for a proper understanding of the third commandment. The Bible, you see, speaks of God's will in different ways, in two different ways. What are these two aspects of God's will? I ask you to pay very close attention in order to get what I'm going to say now. The distinction within the will of God is the distinction between God's will of decree and God's will of demand. To put it another way, the distinction is between God's secret will, His counsel, known only to Himself, His secret will, and His revealed will. The distinction is between what God has determined in eternity for us and God's will that sets forth how we must live. That's the distinction. In Psalm 143, reference is made to God's will. To God's will as His revealed will. How we shall live. Verse 8. Cause me to hear Thy loving kindness in the morning, for in Thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto Thee. And that's one of the references to prayer in Psalm 143, the lifting up of our souls to God. But my point especially is that in verse 8, the psalmist is referring to God's revealed will, the way wherein I should walk is God's revealed will concerning me. Verse 10, teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. There again, God's revealed will. Teach me to do Thy will. We don't do God's secret will. We do His revealed will as He makes plain in His revealed will what we must do and how we must live. And also, in verse 12, and of Thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant. And as Thy servant, I do Thy will. That's what it is to be a servant. Now, this biblical distinction is an important distinction to be aware of, important distinction to keep in mind when we're reading the Scriptures, an important distinction practically that concerns our everyday life in the world. Let me illustrate that. First, from the Scriptures, the opening chapters of the Bible teach us the truth of God's creation of man and of man's fall into sin. God's will in the sense of His eternal decree had determined the fall of man. In eternity, God had decided that, planned that, decreed that. He did that for the sake of the greater glory of the second Adam, His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. His purpose wasn't ultimately with the first Adam. It was with the second Adam. God did that so that His covenant of grace with believers and their children might be realized in time and in history. God had His purposes. God, for good reason, His own reasons, willed the fall of man into sin. But we also know from the opening chapters of Genesis what God's revealed will was to Adam and Eve. And that revealed will of God was, don't eat of the fruit. Although in eternity, God's secret will had determined the fall, His revealed will to Adam and Eve was, you don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was God's command to the man He had created. And it was God's revealed will that Adam and Eve disobeyed when they ate of the forbidden fruit. They were deliberately transgressing the will of God. Nor might Adam excuse his wickedness, his disobedience to the command of God by saying, well, after all, in eternity you had determined that I would eat the forbidden fruit. You had determined the fall. And you had determined it for your greater glory. Adam said no such thing. Because Adam knew that the guilt of his sin, his transgression of the revealed will of God was his own. He was to blame. Now let me illustrate how important this distinction is practically. There are many people who confuse these two aspects of the will of God. His secret will, His decree and counsel, and His revealed will, what pleases Him, how we are to live. There may be a young person who defends his marrying someone outside of the church, perhaps even an outright unbeliever. And when the elders come to see him, or the pastor, he says to them, I just know that this is God's will for my life. I've prayed about this, and I believe that this is God's will for me. What's the problem here? The problem is a terrible confusion of the secret will of God and the revealed will of God. We live our lives according to the revealed will of God. And when we disobey the revealed will of God, which says you don't marry an unbeliever, you don't marry someone who's going to take you out of the church, out of the true church, that's God's revealed will. Or someone in the church intends to marry somebody who is divorced. And when the pastor and the elders confront them with the wrong of what they are intending to do, they get that same response. I prayed about this, and I just believe that this is God's will for me. What's the problem? It's the same problem. You mustn't confuse the secret will of God from His revealed will, how we are to live. That's what determines our life as Christians. The revealed will of God. Maybe there are parents who refuse to carry out the prescriptions of Scripture with a wicked and wayward son or daughter, especially an older son or daughter of age. And they don't bring to the elders or to the pastor their concerns over the life that their child is living. Drunkenness, immorality, fellowship with unbelievers, a lack of consistent church attendance. And they even defend the misbehavior of their sons or daughter. You never know. You never know. They still may be an elect child of God. And it may be the will of God to bring them back. They might be right. We pray that they are right. But that's the secret will of God. And we are called to live according to the revealed will of God. That means admonition. That means the application of Christian discipline. And that means in the end, excommunication from the church of Jesus Christ. So the question is, which aspect of the will of God is referred to in the third petition? When we pray, "Thy will be done." Secret will? Revealed will? And the answer is yes. Both. Both. But what stands on the foreground is the revealed will of God. Now we're going to see next time. I'm on vacation for a couple of weeks, so you won't see me. But next time, we'll see that there are implications in the third petition as regards God's secret will, especially as God's secret will works itself out in our lives and in the circumstances of our lives, our attitude toward God and the will of God. But it is especially God's revealed will with which the third petition has to do. And that's plain from the petition itself. For we pray that God's will be done on earth now, as now it is done in heaven. That implies that God's will is not presently done as it ought to be on this earth. It's not done on earth as now it is done in heaven. That can't be said of God's secret will, His counsel. From that point of view, His will is done on earth as it is done in heaven. If we're talking about God's secret will, that's plain from what we read in Psalm 135, verse 6. whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. Nebuchadnezzar, after he was restored from his living like a beast in the field, humbled by God for his sinful pride, makes this confession in spite of himself. In Daniel 4, verse 35, speaking about God, "And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth." Plainly, the Lord Jesus in the third petition is referring to God's revealed will, which is not done on earth as now it is done in heaven. The Heidelberg Catechism makes this plain. The Catechism makes this plain in its explanation of the third petition. "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey Thy will, which is only good. That so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven." The third petition is talking about the revealed will of God and is the prayer to God, earnestly beseeching God for the grace, for ourselves, for our children, our grandchildren, the church, to do the revealed will of God. What the third petition teaches us is that the revealed will of God is the only standard for our life in the world. That's an important aspect of the third petition. Thy will alone be done on earth as it is in heaven. The standard for our life in the world is not what we strongly desire for ourselves. That's often what we make the standard for our life in the world. That may be the standard for the life of the Christian, not my will. Thy will be done. Neither is it the case that the consensus in modern society, 21st century society, educated, technologically, scientifically advanced man determines the will that ought to govern our lives. That's not the rule of life for the child of God. Not the consensus of the evil world in which we live that teaches evolution, that promotes abortion, that justifies illicit sex of every kind. Neither is the will of the majority what most people are doing, teenagers, what everyone else is doing. That's what you say to your parents all too often. That's a danger. That's peer pressure. That's a real temptation as regards social media, as regards movie attendance, Sabbath observance, entertainment. It's not the will of the majority. It's not what everybody else is doing. It's the revealed will of God. Neither is it the case that our lives are governed by what is easy. It's always a temptation. It's easy for a young person to go along with the crowd. It's easy for the laboring man to join the union in order to protect his job, job security, and greater income after all. And doesn't he have to provide for his family? It's easy for parents to ignore the wickedness of their children because to address it firmly as it ought to be addressed is confrontational. There's going to be arguing. There's going to be resentment. There's going to be turmoil in the family. That's not easy, but it is the revealed will of God. The revealed will of God is set down in the pages of Holy Scripture. What's the will of God? Somebody asks you that, give them this. Tell them, this is a good start. This is a good start for understanding what the will of God is. It's the sacred scriptures. It's that in every age, summed in the Ten Commandments, applied in all of the admonitions, warnings, threatenings of Holy Scripture. That's the standard. The only standard for the life of the Christian. This is the will of God for which we are praying in the third petition. Specifically, first, our prayer on behalf of God's will is the prayer for a thorough knowledge of Holy Scripture, ourselves and our children. How can we do the will of God if we don't know the will of God? We don't look to the astrological charts for the knowledge of the will of God. We don't look to the stars. We don't look to special insight or revelations that someone may claim to have. The wizards that peep, the witches that mutter, the prophet Isaiah speaks of, that's not the will of God. This is the will of God. Because the scriptures are known through the teaching and preaching of those holy scriptures, that's the way that the knowledge of Holy Scripture becomes our own. As we sit under the preaching and teaching of those scriptures in the gathered congregation, that's the will of God. And that's how we learn what the will of God is. So we're asking for a church that preaches these scriptures in truth. And we give thanks to God that that's the case with the church to which we belong. We're asking for a minister who boldly teaches the Word of God and reveals in his preaching and teaching the application of these holy scriptures, God's will for our life today. We're asking for elders who supervise the preaching so that that's the kind of preaching we get, and who supervise the lives of the members to see to it that they live in harmony with the revealed will of God. That's what we're praying for when we pray the third petition. What a dreadful evil when the church apostatizes from the truth of the Word of God, throws the Ten Commandments out the window. We must pray to God as we stand at the threshold of our 100th anniversary that that not happen to us. Thirdly, our prayer in the third petition for the doing of God's will is the prayer that God will actually give us the grace to do His will. That's verse 10. Teach me to do Thy will. Don't just teach me Thy will. Give me the knowledge of Thy will. What I ought to do. How I ought to conduct myself as Your child. In this world, this sinful world, but give me the grace to do thy will. Oh God, this is the prayer. Oh God, by the Spirit, take hold of my will so that I will what thou dost will. That's the third petition. And fourth, included in the third petition, is that we oppose and stand against those who defy the will of God, who attack the will of God, dispense with the will of God. That's increasingly the case in the churches, even in Reformed churches. Partly because we're afraid of the consequences, the scorn, the ridicule, the opening up of ourselves to the possibility of rejection, or worse still, reprisal. Maybe persecution. Maybe death. But praying for the grace, the courage to stand up, to do the will of God, no matter the consequences. God hears and God answers that prayer. As far as we ourselves are concerned, there's no possibility that we're going to do the will of God. That's not our nature. Because, you see, our nature is a fallen nature. That will of God that was part of the image of God in which we were created is fallen. And the consequence of that fall, as Luther and Calvin were fond of speaking of it, is the bondage of our will. Now our will is fallen, but fallen in such a way that it's in bondage to sin and in bondage to Satan. And all that we will is evil and contrary to the will of God. The Catechism brings that out when it says that our prayer in the third petition includes the prayer for the renunciation of our own will. That's our fallen will, our sinful will. The grace of God works obedience. He does that through His Holy Spirit. The means is the preaching of the Word, but He does that through His Holy Spirit. Prayer in the third petition is that God will work in us and work in our children by His Holy Spirit. And that's verse 10 also. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. That's not just an offhand reference to the good and Holy Spirit of God. But it's a reference to the Holy Spirit, because if we're going to do the will of God, the only possibility is the work of God's Spirit in us. That's what we're praying for. God hears and answers that prayer. He sends us His Spirit. He does that for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He died doing not His own will, but the will of the One who had sent Him. He drank the cup to its dregs, and in drinking the cup, He endured and satisfied the will of God. Now on the basis of His saving work, the Lord Jesus Christ sends His Spirit into our hearts and lives inclining our wills, renewing our wills, sanctifying our wills, so that they will the will of God. As it is done in heaven. That's got to be the angels. They're not specifically mentioned, but it's got to be. Who else is there in heaven with God? Well, the saints redeemed, to be sure. But the reference is especially to the holy angels. And so our prayer is, O God, give us the grace to do thy will as perfectly as the angels do it in heaven. Give us the grace to do thy will as joyfully as the angels do in heaven. Give us the grace to do thy will completely, which is exactly how the angels do the will of God in heaven. And may we do the will of God sincerely, not just formally and outwardly, but from the heart, as is the case with the holy angels in heaven. And yet we know that as long as we live in this life, we're never going to do the will of God perfectly. What a grief that is. What a grief. To the child of God, his earnest desires for the day when he will do the will of God perfectly. And that day is when Jesus comes again. So in the end, our prayer in the third petition is nothing less than, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Amen. Father in heaven, work in us and in our children the grace to do thy will. To do it as the angels do in heaven. And at the same time, quicken in our hearts the hope for the day when our wills will be made perfect and we will thy will forevermore. Amen.